Did you really read all those books, or is it just to make an impression?
My sisters love those books. I really think you might like them. And I'm willing to be directed as well.
والكافي تهذيب استبصار من لا يحضره الفقير.
How much are you familiar with the books in the bookshelves of the Muslim libraries in the world?
You're listening to the program Bookshelf on RIB English Radio with Brother Hussein, a book lover and a student of Tarbiyat Mudarris University of Tehran.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. To all our brothers and sisters, our adamant seekers of intellect. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. You've tuned into IRIB English Radio broadcasting from Iran. The show is Bookshelf and I'm Hussein. I'm here if you're looking for a good book to read this week. Isn't it always a pity when a nation makes so many sacrifices on the way to reform itself and then finally takes that one huge step to consolidate the reform only to learn that the great achievement would be sabotaged soon after the leader dies? History is full of stories like that, mesmerizing effects that makes us proud to be humans and decisions by entire nations that we just cannot get our heads around because of how ridiculous those decisions were. Each of us are embedded with several layers of identity, and most of the time, this identity is rooted in some historical event. We try to trace our identities to as farther in history as we can because it resembles originality. But through time, these identities become embellished with fake definitions and deviated beliefs about who we are. This could result in confusion, and a separation may ensue in the members of that identity, each defining who they are differently to the rest. The solution to that is to examine the history. We have an Islamic identity that we are supposed to share, but what does it mean to be a Muslim? What is our approach to our Prophet and what unites us under one name? To discover that, we have to read the history of Islam and go as farther back in history as we can to see who the original Muslims were and what it meant back then. Today, we want to take a look back and examine one of the elements that led to Muslim separation. Stay tuned. You're back on IRIB English Radio broadcasting from Iran. This is Bookshelf. Prophet Muhammad united Arabian tribes and he formed a new identity called Muslim. But soon after his demise, the Muslims were already strangled in a contention about who should succeed him, and soon after, Muslims were divided. This contention was never solved. It began from who should succeed the Prophet, but this satanic diversion festered all branches of Islamic belief, and soon everything was up for dispute. Some scholars argue that even the word tradition, which originally meant the Prophet's lifestyle and his outlook on life, was changed to curry favor with the administrations that ruled over Muslims. The book we want to introduce today examines one of the most significant events that led to this chaos, although there's much more to study on this issue. The book I want to introduce today is called Raziyat Yawm al-Khamis, translated to English as Black Thursday by Muhammad al-Tijani al-Samawi and published by Ansarian Publications of Qom, translated by Sayyid Maqsood Athar. You can download the book for free from al-islam.org. Muhammad al-Tijani al-Samawi is a Muslim scholar at the University of Sorbonne, France. He was initially heavily influenced by Wahhabism after going to Saudi Arabia when he was 18, and he actively promoted Wahhabism when he went back to Tunisia. He has an interesting life story. So basically, on his way to Al-Azhar in Egypt, he met an Iraqi university lecturer who was submitting his PhD to Al-Azhar too, and who invited Tijani to Iraq. At-Tijani spent several weeks in Iraq and he visited different cities and of course debated with figures such as Sheikh Sayyid Abul Qasim Al-Khoi, Muhammad Baqir Al-Sadr and Muhammad Hussein Tabatabai, after which he converted to Shia. The book today is about the incident which took place in the last days before the Holy Prophet's demise, when he asked for writing material to dictate a will, but the people present around him said that he was talking nonsense. This event is a point of controversy between the two largest sects of Islam, and this book presents the reality of what happened and who was the person involved who had the audacity to cast such aspersion on the Messenger of Allah. The book comes in 185 pages. I'm not going to be able to read all the content, but the content includes tradition of pen and paper, why didn't the Prophet force the writing of the will, the incident of pen and paper, what the Prophet wanted to write, and also the book goes through the events that followed that event, the tradition of non-inheritance and Holy Quran, faith of the Umayyads, repentance of a person who repented soon, Aisha's age-old hatred to Ali, and sayings of Muawiyah, Ali's discourse regarding Bani Hashim, and on and on. Alright, I'm going to take a short break, but then we're going to read page 10 of this book after the break. Stay tuned.
Why do we read books in the first place? What are books good for?
We read books because we don't want to reinvent the wheel, if you will.
We'd better take advantage of human cultural and intellectual heritage, particularly related to our daily activities, such as our physical, mental, spiritual, or even religious health.
We can't ignore the past thoughts and experiences. To do so, we need to boost our bookshelf.
You're back on iRibe English Radio, broadcasting from Iran, and we are Bookshelf. We're about to read page 10 of the book Black Thursday by Tijani, but just to give you some background, Tijani has narrated and is now responding to an interpretation that says, when the Prophet asked for a pen and paper to write a will that will save Muslims from deviation, he probably didn't want to actually write anything, and it was just a test. So according to this interpretation, Umar ibn Khattab, who said that the Prophet is talking nonsense, probably had divine inspirations for that, and so he saved Muslims from doing something futile. Alright, so now that we have the background, let's read the book. But to be fair, this answer is incompatible with the words of the Prophet, "You will never astray thereafter," which was the condition of the command, "Bring to me writing materials." In other words, the Prophet was saying, if you bring to me an inkpot and a piece of paper, and I write for you a document, you will never go astray thereafter. In view of this, it's obviously incorrect to say that the purpose of his request for writing material was simply to test his companions. Words of a Prophet, as a rule, must be free from faults, and certainly it was better for them to supply him pen and paper than to refuse it. Moreover, the said answer is open to objection from other points of view, and they should have offered some other excuse. Alright, that's all the time we have, unfortunately, but I guess you get an idea of the book. It's a very detailed book. It's called Black Thursday by Al-Tijani, which you can download from al-islam.org. You can also download an archive of this program and our previous shows simply by searching iRibe English Radio Bookshelf. Until next week, same time, same place. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Thank you.